So in our reading plan, we've kind of hit a section of Scripture where all last week and all this coming week are all Psalms. Well, I thought we finished up in Psalms. No, not exactly. This section of Psalms, they have no clue who wrote them, and they don't know when they were written to put it in the Scripture plan chronologically, right? But they were collected, they think they were collected during this period of time when King Hezekiah was ruling in the southern kingdom. So that's why they're right here. So I want to draw your attention today to one psalm. This is going to be different. It's a different kind of message. And you're either going to love it or hate it. All right? How about that for an introduction? Right? If you want me to close my eyes and pray and give you time to leave now, we can do that. But let me tell you what, we're just going to talk about one psalm today, one psalm. And I really want you to put your defenses down, and I don't want you to just listen to me. I want you to listen to the Holy Spirit speaking in your heart, because today is going to be a very intense day, all right? And so one psalm, and it happens to be one that you probably already know by heart, right? You may have learned this as a little kid. It's Psalm 119. And the ones that are chuckling is because that's the longest psalm in the Bible. It's 176 verses long. And I promise you, you didn't memorize that as a kid. But let me just tell you a little bit about this psalm. Then we really want to get down into what it has to say. It's so uniquely written that it's just amazing. It's all 176 verses of it is this neatly packaged poem. Now, it's divided into stanzas. And there are 22 stanzas. Those of you that are good in math, 22 times 8 is 176. I just told you how many verses there were, all right? And each of these sections of 8 verses coincide with one of the 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. They don't have 26 like we do. They just have 22. And each stanza, each verse in that stanza starts with that particular letter. That's pretty unusual. I mean, whoever wrote this, boy, I'm telling you, it was a real work of art. Let me tell you what the whole focus is. I mean, it doesn't address, you know, half a dozen different topics. It's all about one topic. And it stresses the Word of God. It's all it talks about. And it talks about it using different synonyms for God's Word. And we'll talk about those in a minute. It talks about how important this is in your life. It talks about the power for you to live the Christian life does not come from being in church. It comes from your time alone in what? The Word of God. Yeah. And so that's what we're going to focus on today. And I really want you to be open and honest about this in your life, all right? Because there's a lot of different people represented here. We got a full crowd today, which is amazing with our kids gone to camp, all right? Because the church, are you talking about our church or like a couple of other churches? I'm talking about the church in America, evangelical churches who have given their lives to Christ. Am I talking about Flint River? Yes. I'm talking about us. We have lost the awe and the respect of God's Word as a believer. It's not important to us. We don't look forward to it. We feel like we can do without it. Well, what makes you say that? Because we do without it. The number of believers in this audience right here, if you could be absolutely and totally honest and knew nobody would know how you would mark your survey card, and I asked the question, how many of you have a time every day where you're alone with God? Alone with God. That doesn't mean you've got your phone and while you're driving to work, you're listening to somebody read the Bible to you. I mean, you know, is that good? Yeah, but that's not like being all alone with God. He doesn't have your total attention and your total heart. But see, we've lost that. Somehow or another, we have lived without that being vital to us for so long, we've grown to believe, listen to me now, that we don't need it. That I can be just as good a Christian without that. As long as I, well, what are our two commandments? Be good, show up at church when you don't have anything else planned. Right? As long as I do those, then God's pleased, and we've so fooled ourselves. Unbelievable. We've lost the importance of God's word in our life. And because we've lost it, we don't respect it. Because we've lost it and don't respect it, we live without it. I'm talking to our high school kids. I'm talking to our young marrieds. I'm talking to our senior citizens. If you call yourself a believer, I hope you're not going to have to raise your hand. You're not going to have to stand up and come down front. But I hope you will say, God, speak to my heart this morning. You don't have to pretend for anybody. Because nobody's going to know what God's doing in your life. But I hope that you will say, God, speak to my heart this morning. I want to hear you. All right? Now, let me ask you a searching question. This is deep. How long has it been since you feel like God has spoken to your heart? Right? You mean audible? Steve! No. Not audible. God could if he wanted to. But he really doesn't need to, does he? Because Scripture says that he has given us his word so that he can speak to us. This is God's method to speak to the hearts of people, right? And so let me ask you again, how long has it been, not audible, but he's so impressed your heart that it might as well have been audible? I mean, he was doing like this to your heart when you were reading your scriptures. You knew he was trying to get your attention. And he was trying to say, hey, are you reading this? excuse me, this is for you. I'm trying to get your attention, please. Right? How long has it been since you've heard God speak to you in your heart? I'm pausing, not because I've forgotten what I'm going to say next, but I want that to sink in and I want you to answer it. How long has it been? Are you asking me how long has it been since I read my Bible? No. Because you can read your Bible, you can speed read, you can scan. I mean, there's a lot of different, but I'm talking about you read it asking God, God, I need to hear from you today. Change my life today. How long has it been? And what was it that he spoke to you about? That keeps you from just pulling a number out of the sky. Oh, 3 weeks ago. All right. What did he talk to you about? Do you remember? Might not have been God if you don't remember, because I promise you he'll get your attention. So let me take it a step farther. Not in your quiet times, your time alone with God, but let's bring it inside the church. Because there's so many believers that bottle up your walk with God and think that it consists mainly of what happens in these four walls, right? That's not so. Let me ask you this. How long has it been in one of our services that God's spoken to your heart? Let me ask you a deeper question. Did you come this morning? You ready for this one? This one's going to sting. Did you come this morning, Mr. or Ms. Believer, expecting God to speak to you? Well, no, I just like church. Okay, that answers my question. No, man, I was lucky to make it on time. Okay, that answers my question too. Well, I've just been coming here for so long. I love it. I love the music. I love seeing people baptized. No, I'm not expecting God to speak to my heart this morning. Okay, that answers my question. Did you come asking God to change your life in worship today? God, as we study your word today, I need to hear in my heart from you. How do you want me to be different? I used to say six doors. Well, we're down to four. And when you walk out of either of these four sets of doors, did you really want to be different when you leave? Or did you just want to be able to check the box that said, I came to church? It's a radical difference. It's a radical difference. But you don't understand, I've been a believer for years and years. Same question. Do you really expect God to speak to you? Because you could be coming for years and years out of nothing more than habit, not really expecting to hear God speak to you. You got an answer? And these are deep questions, aren't they? They put you really on the spot. A lot of synonyms in this psalm that refer to God's word, to the Holy Scriptures. He uses the word instructions. He uses the word commands. These are my commands. He uses the word laws. I want you to obey my laws. He's not talking about just the Ten Commandments. He's talking about all of Scripture. All right? These are my decrees, and these are my regulations. Wow, a lot of different words. I want to challenge you this week. You read this, if you're in the plan, reading plan, you read this on Friday. And if you aren't in the reading plan, maybe you missed Friday, maybe you're a couple days behind, I want to challenge you today, sometime before you go to bed tonight, sit down and read Psalm 119. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to say, God, you've got my full attention, and I want you to speak to my heart. Impress on me what you want me to read, what you want me to hear, what I need to know, what I need to put in my life. See, you can read Scripture without ever applying it to your life. You can read Scripture without ever making that real in your life. Now, I realize there's a lot of Scripture that has nothing to do with you whatsoever. It's teaching you who God is. It's teaching you what God expects. And that's good. I get all that. But in the places where it is strictly written to you as a believer, what He expects, how He wants you to live, how He wants you to obey Him, you can know it without ever applying it to your life. And I think that's a lot of times the way you do on Sunday mornings. You listen so good. You take good notes. You know, I see your head down. You're doing like this. You're either making a shopping list, right, for what you need to get right on your way home from work. But how real is it in your life? If it's not real, have you really worshiped? Or have you just attended and are able to check the box? Well, there's a lot of difference there. I want to read, I'm going to jump through Psalm 119, several verses. And here's what I want you to evaluate first of all. Man, we could read this looking for 20 or 30 different aspects. And as you go through, you can just jot down verse numbers that apply to this topic or this topic or this topic. This is what we're going to jump through there and just pull out some of these verses. But I want you to notice that all these verses we're about to read all have to do with how you look at God's Word, right? Because it does me no good to stand up here and talk to you about you need to have a time alone with God if God's Word isn't even important to you. If you don't like God's Word, if you don't feel like you need God's Word, if you feel like your walk with God is just as good and I don't have one of these times, then that's okay. All right? So here's what I want you to do. I want you to evaluate yourself. This is all about your heart. All right? Psalms 119. Here we go. A lot of verses. Verse 35, let's just start in the middle, all right? Make me walk in the path of your commandments, right? Commandments, one of the words for God's Word, for I delight in it. Let me read you as we do these verses. Let me go to an NIV and to another couple of translations and kind of take some of these words and throw it into a different translation. Maybe that some of them will be a little bit easier for you to understand. For I delight in it. One of the other translations uses, for that's where my happiness is found. Is that true in your life? Is that where your happiness is? Is that how you view this book? Oh, I know it's special. I know it's God's Word. I know your grandmother has one on her coffee table, but I'm asking you, what does this book mean to you? 36, incline my heart to your testimonies. Another translation says, give me an eagerness for your word. Stop. Oh, we don't need to go much farther, do we? How eager are you every day to hear God's Word? Or are you eager at all? Is it just really easy to live without it? Oh, and not to covetousness. Verse 40. For I long, I desire more than anything for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. Do you desire more than anything God's Word, just to read it and to live it? Verse 47, I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. One of the translations says, oh, how I love them. Is that how you feel? Is this describing you? A few more. Verse 97, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. That word meditation, another translation reads it like this. I think about them all day long. Verse 131. I opened my mouth and panted. You know, when your dog's been out running, he gets all hot. He comes back to you. He just desires so much that cool drink of water. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for your commandments, for your word. Another translation says, I pant with expectation. I want you to speak to me. Are any of these describing you? I mean, this is private, but I need you to answer those in your heart. One more. Verse 167, my soul keeps your testimonies, your word. That's how real it is in my life. I don't just know it. I'm not just reading it, but I've incorporated this into my walk, my life. This is real in my life. And I love them exceedingly. I love them very much, says another translation. Somebody's in love with God's word, aren't they? Let me ask you this. Why is it so different for us? Why can't we say these things about us? What has this author got that we don't have? Because we're real content to not read, to not be alone with God. Some of you have been believers for years and years, and it's been that long since you've read your Bible every day. It's amazing. Why is it? Why is it so easy for you and for me as a believer to live without God's word? Why does that come so easy to us? Why is it that God's word isn't important to us? Well, you don't know. We're a young married couple and we got kids screaming and they got the colic and they got everything else. You just don't know what it's like. Oh, I remember what it's like. Yeah, the Bell home with women is full. I remember what it's like. It's a struggle. But that doesn't excuse anything. Why is this word not important to us as believers? Why is it that I feel like this applies to everybody else but me? Somehow or another, God says, you know what? Bless your heart. You're just such a strong believer. Oh, I just admire your dedication and your walk. Listen, all this stuff about reading the Bible, you get a pass. You don't have to. Yeah, just go to church and be good. And just go to church when you don't have anything else planned. That's all I need. Do you really think that's what he would say to us? I don't think it is. Think about this for a minute. We've dedicated a whole year at Flint River to try to teach you this very lesson this morning. We're studying it in our life groups. I'm teaching you on Sundays out of what you read through the week. You know, there's so many. Let me ask you this. If you're a believer, have you ever read your Bible from cover to cover? But yet you call yourself a believer. How is that? How can you say, I committed my life to Almighty God, but I've never cared enough to read what He wrote to me? Doesn't there sound like there's something wrong with that? It sure does. Yeah. But we've dedicated a whole year to try to teach you how to read your scriptures, to teach you to get in the habit of being alone with God every day. Let me show you. I pick on Bart sometimes, but he has written a tool for you, for all of us, to make it so easy for you to read your Bible every day. This is what we're doing in our life groups. And you can pick these up. They're available everywhere. Bart even has his own little motorized cart that he rides around the church handing these out. All right? It's almost like being at the airport. Beep, beep, right? Pick up one of these. For July, this is what we're going to study each of the four Sundays in July so that you will know ahead of time what we're going to talk about. But then pick up one of these. It's a journal. This is July's journal, and there is a reading plan every day. Tells you what to read. Ask you a few questions, and it walks you through the month of July. And then on each Sunday, he has taught our life group leaders a new way of teaching. They teach through the scriptures. It's discipleship based and not theme or topic based. It's not, we're going to watch a video and answer some questions. This is all about God's Word and helping you get into the habit of reading and studying it and applying and living it each and every day. Oh, guys, this is so huge. Oh, let me answer a couple questions for you. We've talked about this before, but do you realize, you've heard the term spiritual warfare, even last week. Remember what we talked about last week? We talked about the accuser. We talked about Lucifer, Satan, how much he hates you as a believer, how he has battle plans to deceive I'm trying to remember the four D's. I told you last week they'd be so easy to remember. You know, distract you with other things, getting you busy. You know, how he's going to discourage you, how he's there to destroy your walk with God, right? And we talked about spiritual warfare is in your life as a believer, how you battle against that every week. Do you know the greatest spiritual battle that you will fight as a believer every week? Reading your Bible. Because all Satan has to do is convince you that you really don't need to. That it's not important. That you're too busy. That nobody knows where you work or how many kids you have. Right? And I'm doing pretty good without a time alone with God every day. And so, you know what? I'm just going to kind of keep going. He's got you. Because this is where your power to live for Christ comes from. If I ask you, only believers answer this. How many believers in here have a desire, I really want to live for Jesus every week? Your hand would go up. Right? Yeah. This is one of those questions where you're going to hang yourself. Because I said, all right, now, everybody with your hand up, if you don't have a time every day where you're feeding yourself on God's Word and allowing Him to speak to you, put your hands down. I wonder how many hands are left up. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? This is where your strength and your power to live for Christ comes from. And without this, are you worthless? Oh, no. You always have value because you're a child of the King. Are you useless? Pretty much. Satan's won. He can't take away your salvation, but he would love to make you useless. And without hearing God speak to you, that's where you are. All right? Boy, you're throwing rocks today. No, I'm not. Do you think that this is something you struggle with, but your life group leader doesn't, your pastor doesn't? I mean, there's times that I go through I'll miss a day, and you know what? I'm just so, like this last week, of all weeks, this would have been an easy week to have missed a couple days. It's been that busy. But you know what? As a believer, not as a pastor, I can't afford to miss it. I need it. This is my life as a believer. Is it yours? I don't know. And I'm not going to come ask you. But this is something that you need to wrestle with in your own heart. Is this your life? How real is this in your walk? All right? Let me show you. We're just going to take a couple of minutes here. That first stanza, right? Aleph. Aleph is the name of the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And so you can't see these, but in Hebrew, all these words start with that Hebrew letter. And that really is not going to make a hill of beans. That's one of those, if you're at a Mexican restaurant and they have trivia night, you may win. Okay? That's about all that's good for. But let's just read through here and let me show you how easy it is, right? God, speak to our hearts. This is what you would do. God, I'm alone with you, and I need to hear you speak to my heart. The things that I need in my life, show me. The things that are wrong in my life, show me. The things that need to change in my life, show me. Look at verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Sometimes you may need an easier translation, just not to study with, but just to read. You know, just reading your scripture, because sometimes the words are translated in a way that you can understand. An easier translation says this: blessed are the people of integrity. Oh, Steve, does that describe you? Is your life filled with integrity? You know, are you the same at church as you are at home? Are you the same at church as you are at work? You know, what do you talk the same at church as you do on the ball field, or the other way around? Do you talk the same at church that you talk on the ball field? Right? What's integrity? Integrity is who you are when nobody's around. When nobody can see you, when nobody can hear you, when nobody knows what you're thinking, that's your measure of integrity. Blessed are the people of integrity. All right? You know what? If you're taking notes here, I just made some little questions out beside these verses. We're just using these 8 verses as a sample. Here's our first question. You know what? That's asking me how real my spiritual life is. You know? Am I one person at home and another person here? Am I a spiritual schizophrenic? You know, am I wearing a mask? Am I pretending? Right? How real is my spiritual life? Verse 2, here's the question. How intense is my spiritual life? Would you describe your spiritual life as intense? Probably not. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who keep His word, who seek Him with the whole heart. Another translation said, with all their heart. Oh, is that real? Do you seek God with all your heart every day? I don't know, do you? Is that how real He is? Do you seek Him kind of half-heartedly? And half-heartedly seems okay? Is that okay? Listen, the next time a birthday or Mother's Day or Father's Day comes around, I hope you get a card that says, to my sugar booger or my honey bunny, I love you with half my heart. Because somebody's going to get their brains beat in right then and there. No, you don't want to be loved with half of somebody's heart. And God doesn't want you to serve Him, to walk with Him with half your heart. Here's your next question. How committed is your spiritual life, right? How focused are you? I'm not just reading it. I've applied it to my life, and I'm living it out. It's so real. Verse 3, they also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Do no iniquity. I love the way this translation said it. They also do not compromise with evil. Oh, it's so easy for believers to compromise. Well, I know this is what God says, but... Well, I know this is what God expects, but He'll understand, right? No, it doesn't work that way. You have, verse 4, you have commanded us to keep your precepts, your word, diligently. Talking about obedience. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Listen to how this translation says, oh, that I would consistently reflect your word in my life. The old Jesus with skin on, remember that saying that we use so much? That's what it's saying. When people look at your life, when they listen to you talk, when they watch how you live, where you go, your habits, everything, are they looking at God's word when they look at you? Verse 6, then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. Ashamed about what? Ashamed knowing that God knows who I really am, knows how I'm really living. See, I can fool y'all all day long. And maybe you can even fool your husband or your wife or the people in your family all day long. Easy for parents to fool their kids and kids to fool their parents. But you know what? God knows who you really are. And God knows what's real in your life. Oh, I don't want to be ashamed when I stand before Him. Verse 7, I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I will thank you for living like you expect. That's a praise to God. When your life is marked with obedience, when people look at your life and see His word, that is a praise to Almighty God. Last question, how clean is your spiritual life? Look at verse 8. I will keep your statutes. I will obey your decrees. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. I love this translation. Oh, please don't give up on me. If you're a believer, God's not going to give up on you. God's going to convict you of things that aren't right. God's going to convict you of things that don't please Him. God may convict you to the point where He says, I'm done. You don't lose your salvation, but He just gives you over. You just go ahead and live like you want to. But don't ask me for help. Don't come running to me when you're in trouble. Right? I'm not going to be your Santa Claus, your sugar daddy, your 911, or your MasterCard. I will thank you by living as I should. I'm going to obey your decrees. Please don't give up on me. Let me ask you a question. Three questions, we're out of here. When you hear verses like this, does your heart not cry out, God, what's wrong with me? Why don't I feel like that? Why isn't that real in my life? I sure couldn't have written those verses. There's no way. I'm too busy. Your word's not important. You know what? I'm going to live, listen to this. This one's going to hurt. I'm going to live like I want to live. I just hope you're pleased with it. That's radically different than God, show me how you want me to live. And I want to live that way. What's wrong with me? And I hope as a believer this morning that you go home and I hope you get alone and say, oh God, search my heart. God, what's wrong with me? If these don't describe you, if these aren't real, what's wrong with me, God? Am I not saved? Right? And there's a lot of people in this room that have never given their life to Christ. Right? That's okay, right this very second. If you walk out of here, you're taking your life in your hands. After all God's done to draw you to Him, He left heaven and came here because you needed forgiveness. You needed a Messiah. You needed a Savior. And He says, you know what? I'm going to go and I'm going to be that sacrifice that will cause you, that will offer you forgiveness. Yeah, that's why He came. That's why He lived a perfect life. That's why He went to the cross. That's why He shed His blood. That's why they killed him. They buried him. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And he did that to make forgiveness available to us. And it comes by a surrender of our life. Have you surrendered your life to Christ? I'm not sure. How do I know? He changes your life. You're different. He gives you a new heart, a new life, new everything. Right? Well, this doesn't sound like me. Maybe because I'm not saved. Maybe because I am a believer. But that's not going to describe me if there are areas of sin in my life. If I'm knowingly disobeying God, if I'm knowingly not being who and what He's called me to be, then I'm not going to feel real warm and fuzzy about His Word. Because if I read it, it convicts me. And I don't want anything to make me feel bad, because the focus of my life is to be happy and feel good. Oh, how vain that is. Oh, folks, listen, what's wrong with me? How can I get started? Let me tell you how. Draw a line in the sand. Doesn't matter what last week, last month, the last 10 years have been. God, I'm going to start today. And I want to be alone with you every day. That'll mean you'll have to reschedule your day, your morning, your evening, whatever it is, when you're at your best. I am worthless at night. Worthless. Right? But man, I can function, man. I was up a minute before the alarm went off this morning. 2:59, eyes went beep. Yeah. I can function early in the morning. You know what? Worthless. When do I need to be with God? 9 or 10 o'clock at night? I won't even know who I'm praying to at that time of night. But early in the morning, I can say, God, this is my time with you. I really want to hear from you. What can I do to help me grow? You need a life group. You need one of these life groups. And Bart can give you a journal. If you'll go to our website, that little place on the back of the chair, just wave your phone over it. There's a place there that says, help me find a life group. You click, you just do that and put your email in there, name and email. That'll come to us. I promise you, you'll hear from Bart and he'll say, okay, what service you want to go to? What hour do you want me to help you find a life group? We got to get you hooked up, because this is how you're going to grow. Different this morning, huh? It wasn't about a story. It wasn't about event. It wasn't even about a Bible character. It's about the foundation of your faith is right here. So, and the people that are new have no clue what these others are saying. All year long, I did a series called, So, What Are You Going to Do About It? And that's how I ended every Sunday. Pretty appropriate today. It's one thing to hear it, but what are you going to do about it? Let's pray together. Well, Father, as believers today, God, as we evaluated our hearts and lives, God, we pray that you would give us that type of a heart that just longs, desires, pants, Father, that just... oh, just so wants to be alone with you and hear your word. Hear you speak to our hearts. Father, we want to not just listen, but we want to obey. And we want you to change our lives and make this real in our heart. Father, I pray for the people in this audience this morning, the children, the students, the adults of all ages who've never surrendered their life to Christ. Father, I pray this morning that that's what they're hearing in their heart. That's how you're drawing them. And I pray that right now they would say, God, I give you my heart. Would you come and live inside of me? Would you forgive me? God, would you be my Messiah, my Savior, my Lord? Father, thank you so much for making me your child. So what are you going to do about it this morning, folks? Father, I pray we'll obey you in Jesus' name. Amen.